Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus. If this is your first time with us, please stay tuned for the next few minutes for a message from God's Holy Word. If you're a return listener, we welcome you back again. And if you're listening to WMAF on the World Wide Web, we're so glad that you allow us to be part of your listening day. Wherever this broadcast finds you and whatever circumstance you face this day, I want to declare to you by the authority of God's Word that you are deeply loved. You know, we learned this scripture in Sunday school, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him might not perish, but have eternal life." And I'm so glad to declare by the authority of God's Word, not only John 3:16, but really the whole Bible is, in a simplified statement, a love story. And it is a love letter from God to mankind. How can it be, the songwriter said, that this my God would die for me? Paul put it so beautifully in the New Testament when he said, "If God loved us enough to give us His only Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" If you are not convinced of God's love today, because of the condition of this world, because of a seeming unheard or unanswered prayer in your life, you need to look past the things we don't understand to something that we can understand. And that is an old rugged cross where God gave His only begotten Son so that you and I could be forgiven. Friend, that doesn't happen unless great, great love is being exhibited and expressed. I can tell you honestly, after all of these years of ministry, I have questions when I get to heaven that I know God is going to answer. But right now, I trust Him because I know that He loves me. And He loves my loved ones. He loves my children. He loves my wife. He loves my friends and neighbors. He loves this world. He gave man a free will, and we have made choices as mankind in general that has brought a lot of heartache and trouble and pain. But God is a loving God, and there is a coming a day when Christ will come and put it all right. And I want to encourage you today to keep your heart set upon the Lord if you know Him. And if you don't know Him, to open your heart to His love and not let the enemy of your soul try to cause you to doubt that you are greatly loved by the Lord today. Before we begin our study today, I want to invite you to visit our website. If you just type in on your search engine, or if you want to use Google, it'll be sure to take you very quickly to our website. It's simply THCOG. Just type in. That's not a word or a name. It's just the letters for the Holy Church of God. We are a independent assembly associated with Independent Assemblies of God International here in Tampa, Florida. Have been in ministry in this city with this group of people. We're left with the core of the group we started with, but we're starting up again. Hallelujah. And we've been in ministry here for 33 years, just celebrated our 33rd anniversary. And we're just so grateful today to be with you in Madison and to be a part of ministerial outreach in North Florida. And with the other ministries in Madison that are on the air on this station and ministers, and we just thank the Lord for you. Hope that you know how much you are loved and appreciated by our Master. He sees you and calls you the stars in His His right hand in the book of Revelation. What a privileged place to be as a minister of the gospel. You may never be held in that esteem by your congregation, or you may. But I want you to know how God looks upon you and how God feels about you and me. And it's wonderful to know that. There's times I wondered if anyone really appreciated that. We all get the poor old me's sometimes. But I want you to know God loves you today, minister of the gospel. Thank God for you. Great reward is waiting you in heaven for disseminating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And today, if you are listening to this broadcast while you're driving on the interstate, or one of the roadways, we pray that you will stay tuned for a little while before you get to your destination and hear a message from God's Word. We're talking about the love of God today, and we want you to know how much He loves you. If there's a foundation for faith to operate from, it is the great and mighty and wonderful love of God. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 36 and verse 7, one verse of Scripture from the psalmist. And I really love this verse of Scripture because we all know that faith comes by hearing. Most of us that have been studying the Bible for any length of time understand that the Scripture declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And somehow we think maybe we misunderstand that Scripture to the degree that we think that just by reading the Bible, because it is a holy book, that just the book itself is going to give us faith. But it goes beyond that. The Bible is a book about a person, and particularly the personhood of God and His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I like what one man said about the Scripture. He said, "As I read the Bible, a man stood up." Hallelujah. And that man was none other than Jesus Christ. Down in South Africa, the Bible is called in some circles the Jesus book, because they say open it just about anywhere and you will find something about Him. Praise the Lord. God has revealed Himself to us through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we begin to look in the Scriptures and we see this great and good God for who He is, and begin to get a grasp and get an understanding of Him. Jesus actually went on to say, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So we want to get a handle on this personhood of God, what He is like, who He really is, that we might put our trust in Him, that we might begin to build our faith around an understanding of who He is and how much He loves you and me. The Bible said in Psalm 36 and 7, "How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings." Heavenly Father, bless Your word today. Bless all who are listening, especially bless those with broken hearts, bless those with questions even of Your love today, Lord. These are honest questions, earnest questions. And Father, we just pray today that somehow You will communicate through Your word and by Your Spirit to our hearts of flesh. And Lord, that You will be able to let us sense anew and afresh that You are indeed love, and that love flows from You to us. In spite of the things we don't understand, help us to understand this great truth, to put our trust wholly in You and find Your peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So many times we try to build our faith by just reading the Bible and not really going to the Bible to search out and to know God better. The Bible said that God is a God of loving kindness here in the Psalms. And because of His loving kindness, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of His wing. Because we serve a good and loving God, it's so easy to put our trust in Him. The Old Testament word for faith, as we would find it in the New Testament, is the word trust. And maybe it better defines what New Testament faith is all about. The New Testament says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For they that come unto Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But to understand this faith that is so important and vital in the New Testament, we almost have to go to the Old Testament and learn about this word trust, because that's how it's rendered in the Old Testament. We've got to be cautioned that faith is not just a force that develops in us as we read this holy and mystical book and suddenly faith just comes up just by reading the words on the page. No, it's when the words on the page begin to define the person of the book. The person of God, the personality of God, His character, His nature. 1 John says we've known and believed the love that God has for us because God is love. Hallelujah. Amen. God has power. He has all might and all wisdom, but God is love. Hallelujah. And because God is love and He exhibits and expresses loving kindness to us, then we can trust in Him. When we use the word trust, we think of a person. It's the only thing that can come to mind when we think of the word trust in relation to God is His very person. And I want you to know that your God wants you to know Him. Jesus wants you to know Him, not only as your Savior, but as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I know that scripture doesn't have a star beside it where it's rendered in the Old Testament, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But every time I read it, and most Christians, when they hear it, immediately think of Jesus. Isn't it good to know that God can be known in such a way that we can be His friends and we can call Him our friend, that we can have an intimate personal relationship with Him, that actually we can not only call Him Father because He is the Creator, but Father because we have become His sons and His daughters, because we as Christians have been brought into His royal family. And we can not only call Him Father in terms of our parent, but we can say Abba Father because we have an intimate personal relationship with Him. I really like what the Amplified New Testament, Old Testament says about this scripture. It says, how precious is your steadfast love. One paraphrase reads, how eager we are to run under your wings. Faith is not a complicated, a mystical thing. It is simply finding something out about God that we know with such an absolute confidence that we are able to put our trust in Him because of what we know about Him. Nothing stimulates us to trust the Lord more than a revelation and a realization of His great love. I remember preaching one Mother's Day Sunday and declaring that God's greatest tribute to a godly mother was to associate divine love in His heart with the love of a good mother. He said in the Old Testament to ancient Israel, who He was in covenant love with, He said, can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may, but I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. It's for certain that mothers need to be honored and deserve to be honored. But when we find out that God has a heart like the best of mothers and beyond all of that, because of the divine love that He has, it begins to tell us that this great, mighty, awesome God has a wonderfully tender heart toward you and toward me. You may or may not have had a good mother, but one thing is certain, you have a good Father in heaven who loved you enough to give His Son to die in your place on the cross. Because of His great love, the God of the Bible has a tender heart. Because of God's great love for us, His heart is easily touched. God does not sit aloof in His heaven with little or no concern for His creation. He came down to feel our human condition, to experience our troubles and trials, to become our Savior and our friend. I'm going to read again, and I know I've read it before, but it just fits here today. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. See, God is a loving, kind God. Jesus came to show that loving kindness, to demonstrate it in a practical, personal way that we could all grasp it and see it. He died on the cross because of the great mercy and the great love that God has for you and for me. And the Bible said because he came, experienced what we experience, we can come to him boldly, knowing that he's going to receive us, knowing that he's going to turn his ear to us. David said, I love the Lord because he heard my prayer, and he heard my voice, he heard my cry, and he turns his ear always to me. We sing that in some of our worship services, and we need to get a handle on what it really means. When we pray to know that God loves us, we don't have to get his attention, therefore. We have his attention. The scripture says his eyes are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. You know, one of the great things that happen when you come to Jesus as your Savior, God immediately grants you a positional righteousness. He takes away all of your sin, casts it away from you, and he gives you a clean garment, a robe of righteousness according to the Scripture. And it's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness that he gives you. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. But he gives us a gift of righteousness. He gives us a wedding garment to put on, something so clean and so pure that we can come into his presence. Figuratively speaking, he gives us a garment like that when he clothes us in salvation. I am so glad today when it says his eyes are upon the righteous. It doesn't mean the sinlessly perfect, because there's nobody like that but Jesus. But we do have that kind of standing with him, that kind of place in his heart. Isn't it so good to know that you don't have to get God's attention in prayer? You have his attention. And you know why you have his attention? It's because you have his heart, because God loves you today. We should not have halting hearts, but eager hearts, trusting that his love for us will never fail and will never falter. This bold faith, this consoling confidence is ours because we believe that he loves us enough to give his son for us. And we believe that our needs have touched his heart. I want to read this also from the Amplified. I want you to hear it again, and I want it to be amplified. It said, we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us, that we might receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Isn't that beautiful? God really, really, really wants to respond to our faith and to our prayers. The Bible said, whatever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. It's not hard to pray. Sometimes it's difficult to truly believe as the Bible defines believing. And when we come to the place that we stagger and we halt at the promises of God, sometimes the love of God can get us past those hurdles. Sometimes in my mind becomes my own enemy. I come to a place and I'm praying for someone that everything seems to go the opposite direction of what I'm praying for. And I have to bypass all of that. Just believe that the God who loved me and gave himself for me is listening to my prayer. Sometimes in my emotions, I feel like no one is really there. No one is really listening. After all these years of ministry, sometimes I'm praying, especially when I've been through something tough, and it just feels like the enemy is crying out that prayer is futile and no one is listening. But I know that my Redeemer lives, as Job said, and I know that my God is listening. Hallelujah. And I know that the answer is going to be forthcoming. I don't know how God's going to do some of these things. I don't know the timing of it, when he's going to do it. But I know that if he hears me, he's going to respond to me. And he hears me because he loves me, and he gave his son, and he gave me a gift to put me in a posture and a standing before him that he can receive me. There's a scripture in 1 John that says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. See, the issue isn't getting God's attention. The issue isn't being worthy to come into his presence after we become Christian. The only issue left is that we believe him and we pray according to his will. If you ask something that's not in his will, God has the prerogative as our Heavenly Father to say no. He's working for our eternal good. But if it's in accordance with his will, God will say yes, and the answer will come. And I want to encourage you to go before God with your needs today. I want to encourage you to put your trust in him, because I want you to get a hold of this absolute, undeniable, unshakable fact. God loves you today. Even if you're a sinner today and you're not a Christian, God loves you. The scripture declares again that God commends his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're as loved today as the greatest Christian who ever lived. He can't save you. He can't forgive your sins unless you receive him. But the issue of love was settled at Calvary, and he died for you just like he died for Billy Graham or anyone else that has called upon his name. He loves you today. He wants you to come to him. Don't think that you've done something so terrible that God wouldn't want you. God knows you. He cares about you. And he reaches out to you because he gave his son for you. It's an incredible message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It sounds too good to be true. But this God is true. And this love is real. And it's life-changing. It transforms when it touches the human life and the human soul. There are two imperatives to faith I want to mention to you today. And that is our absolute trust. Number one is that God exists. He's real. Christ came into this fallen world to reveal him. And the second thing is that he loves us. Therefore, he responds to us when we put our trust in him, when we call upon him. We find these principles in Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Listen carefully, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is, and he responds because he loves those that diligently seek him. The real issue of having faith in God for our needs is not God is all wise and knows how to help us alone, or God is all powerful and is able to help us, Our God is everywhere and is available to help us, but rather God is love, and He will help us. That's the final barrier. Hallelujah. I could tell you how mighty God is, and I could tell you that He's omniscient, that He's everywhere. I can tell you that He's omnipotent, that He's all-powerful. Hallelujah. That He is He is all-wise, and He knows exactly how to solve every complex problem and circumstance of your life. But the greatest thing I can tell you is that He loves you. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you will receive that into your heart, the Bible said we've known and believed the love that God has for us. You have to have faith in His love for you. And where do you get that kind of faith? You get it at an old rugged cross, because the man hanging on that cross, my brother and my sister, could have come off of that cross at any time. They didn't take Jesus there. He isn't some pitiable sight, some pathetic soul hanging on that tree. They didn't take Him by force. As a matter of fact, when they came to get Him, it seemed they did, but when they came to get Him, they said, "Are you He?" And He answered and said, "I am," and they fell back. Hallelujah. He was God incarnate. He had all power in heaven and earth, and yet He hung on that cross in all of that pain, all of that suffering. And what held Him there? It couldn't have been the nails. It couldn't have been the soldiers with the spear at the bottom to make sure no one took Him down. What held Him on that cross? That's the glory of Him going. It had to be love that held Him on the cross. It had to be love for you. It had to be love for me. See, the cross screams that God loves you, because Jesus didn't have to stay on that cross. He didn't have to come into this world at all. He could have let us go our way and let the consequences of our sin consume us. But He made a choice, because God loved this world, and He still loves it. He loves you, and He loves me. He hates our sin, but He loves us. And that's why He sent His Son to save us. I go back to the cross over and over and over again, and the gospel never gets old to me. Sometimes I don't feel special. Sometimes I feel like a grain of sand on the seashore, except for my family and my church family. But you know something? When I go to the foot of the cross, I feel so wonderful. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, "Not my will, thine for"? There's no love like this in all of the world. There's no lover of my soul like this in all of the universe. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how I love Him today. And you know why I love Him? The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. Friend, I get so excited. It's hard for me to get all of this into 30 minutes. And the time is gone, and there's so much more I wanted to say. But if I could speak to you 8 hours a day, 25 years solid, I couldn't scratch the surface. No way in the world to tell you about the love of God. But I'm going to try every chance I get to let somebody know. But where my words stop, the Holy Spirit will take over. And the Bible said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And I believe right where you are right now, if you've opened your heart, if you've cracked it, that door open, and said, "If this is real, I want it. Come in, Jesus." I believe He's coming in right now, and the love of God is filling your soul. The forgiveness of God is giving you peace. Why don't you call upon Him today? If you're a Christian today, rest in Him. Lay all your troubles at the foot of that cross and look up at Jesus in your mind's eye and say, Lord, I cast my burden on You. Until next week, this is Pastor Robert saying, come back and be with us again. And let's talk about Jesus.